columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Can we be there?
God, we are here.
Oh, just think of the time.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right
our
now.
Love so strange. Said you now.
Brandon Stokely, are you with us?
Zachary Bye, I'm here, baby.
How you feeling today, dude?
I feel great. Just dominated the Peloton. Got my coffee. You know, hey.
Have you caught up to Orlando yet?
No, I can't catch him, man. Look at his quads, bro. Look at his quads, okay? It's like trying to do a squat contest against that guy. It's not physically possible for me to catch him, okay? He's got big quads. He's got strong legs. They're stronger than me. So, no, I can't catch him right now in the Peloton.
So you're just basically waving the white flag.
I didn't say that. I said right now.
Just go
right
ahead now. And wave it.
Who is that?
Go ahead and wave it.
Where is he coming from? Hey, go home. Go home and grow a beard. he's really good at it. He is. He is. Tip my cap to him. I'm not trying anymore to compete against him. I'm just trying to compete against myself, and I'm trying to get better every single day.
That is the right political answer. You sound like you're at the podium. You sound like you just talked to Patrick.
Oh, man. Well, that's my only approach. When you can't beat somebody, that's what you got to do. That's the approach that you got to take. But it's all good here. It's all good here. I tell you what I do every morning. I wake up, and I'm like, how do I feel this morning? Do I feel like I got a fever? Do I feel like I'm a little run down? Do I feel like I'm sick? And then I play back where I was 2 weeks ago. You know, because they say it can show up 2 weeks later, I think, is the window, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
And,
it's like incubation period just hangs out inside of you before you can get a symptom.
Yeah. So I kind of bring myself back to where I was 2 weeks ago. Okay, I didn't get it when I did that 2 weeks ago. Then, okay, I'm good. I'm good from that day on. So, and obviously the later it's gone, the more precautions that I've taken.
Sure.
But still, you can only take so many precautions, right? I'm still go to the grocery store, and do little things like that and try to bundle up. I told you I wore my ski mask to the grocery store the last time I went, and I think I'm going to do that again here in the next couple of days. Ski mask, hoodie on, sweatpants. And then the problem was I started sweating so much in the grocery store. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is going on here? Well, it was all the clothes I had on.
Right.
You know? So that's kind of my thought process when I wake up every morning. What's going on with you? Anything new?
Not much. I actually went to go to the bank yesterday and was locked out and, you know, doing the whole drive-through thing. But I saw someone on social media say, this is the first time in human history you could approach the bank wearing a mask and gloves and no one thinks anything of it. It's just kind of where we're at. No, we're trying to stay sane. We're going on walks every single day. It's starting to warm up outside. It's really, really nice outside. If you're listening live at the time here at midday on March 31st, it's a beautiful day.
It looks great. I haven't stepped out, but it's nice.
It's gorgeous, and it's only going to get nicer throughout the afternoon. And I did hear a rumor, Stoke, that there was still one golf course in Colorado that was open.
There is some courses open. There's some.
I can't believe that.
Well, let me tell you the precautions that these golf courses are taking. So it's gradually got to the point to where there's no golf carts. Okay, you can't take a golf cart. You got to carry your bag or take a pull cart that you have. And that's what they're doing. And some golf courses that are available to play are you show up 5 minutes before your tee time, get on the, you don't hit balls or anything, get on the tee box and you just play with your group. So you're carrying your bag. A lot of courses don't have the flags. If they're still open right now, they don't have the flag sticks in.
Okay.
Right? So you're not grabbing a flag stick. You just kind of got to figure out where the hole is or whatever.
Okay. So they're eliminating the surfaces?
Right.
Okay.
So they're doing things like that. So you're out on a golf course. Most of the time you're staying 6 feet away from your partner. You're not around many other people. You're not grabbing a flag stick. So the precautions there that they've taken, I think, have alleviated some of the issues with, know, what's going on now, because there's a lot of social distances, obviously, on a golf course, and no golf carts, no pins in the hole, and some that I have played here a couple weeks ago do have the pin in, but you can't take it out. They have like a little fake cup on top.
Oh, I got you.
Just like little things like that to make it a lot more safe if you do want to get out and play golf. So there's no touching the steering wheels. There's nobody bringing the carts up for you, and so they're limited social interaction. And you don't go in the clubhouse. You don't pay in the clubhouse. You pay beforehand online.
Oh,
so, you
know, okay.
You just walk out to the course. You walk out of the first tee box. You get on the first tee box, and you're going. So you don't even really see anybody hardly at all, except for the few people that you're playing with.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Stoke. I think that's great. I do. I think that's great. If they're going to that measure. And removing all the variables that could lead to an interaction with the COVID-19 and still make golf available.
Yeah.
Because it's social distancing unto itself, really.
Right. Especially to that level.
You know, I got a DM from one of my buddies here that owns the Urban Egg restaurant down here in the DTC. And Brendan, he sent me this video. Out on the golf course, they were at Deer Creek Golf Club. Uh-huh. You heard of that down in Littleton?
Yes.
Deer Creek. And I was like, what are you guys, they're letting you guys do it? They said, yeah, if they're practicing all the social distancing stuff. So I was like, sweet, man, because me, a guy, like, I'm not a golf guy. I want to put a basketball into a hoop, and right. that's been taken away from me. So, I don't have a hoop at my house. So, like, I rely on going to public parks, 24-hour fitness. And that's been taken away. And if you didn't hear me say this last week, the city's removed the rims right off the backboards in all these parks, which is, you know, it sucks for me. So I don't know what to do. I hate running. You know what I mean? Just like going out there jogging, like running in a straight line. I don't like doing that. So like for me to get a workout right now, I got to like force myself to either do some sort of workout video or like power walk, which I'm really not into either. So. It
power
sucks.
Walk, huh?
Yeah, just, I mean, it's not like a spoken thing.
Do you move
thing.
Your arms, like, really
no,
fast?
No.
And you have weights in your arms?
No.
And a headband on? No, that's
no,
not you?
It's one of these things that's like...
I could see that being you.
It's like an unspoken thing between me and my wife. We just go out and we just start walking fast.
Just fast walk.
It's
okay.
Just fast walking.
All right.
So,
hey, whatever it is, you know, I mean, it's like you need to get... You need to do something. You need to get out. You got to do something. If you're just in your house all day, all the time, without getting out and exercising, and that's the one good thing right now. We got good weather.
Right.
So to be able to at least get out and get some exercise, and you can keep your social distancing, obviously, and be away from people, but also that just helps to keep you sane. Man.
Right.
It just
right.
helps to keep you sane.
Yeah.
But everything you just said about the golf, why don't you text my wife the same thing you just said? You think it's great that the golf courses are open? I say golf. Right now, she looks at me crazy.
I'm not tapping into that conversation. How about this? The conversation yesterday surrounding Philip Lindsay, really within the last week since the Melvin Gordon signing, really kicked up a notch yesterday. And the first clue of this conversation that was going to happen was from D-Mac, really on Twitter, when he jumped on Twitter and he said, working on some juicy gossip. Birdies are singing this morning. I love how D-Mac has branded this whole birdies thing in the last couple of years.
It is pretty good.
Is it birdies are singing this morning? We shall see what comes about. Stay tuned. Got some stuff about Philip Lindsay coming up later. Question, and this is me asking, not somebody else. Would the fair thing for the Broncos to do would be to trade Philip Lindsay? Question mark. And then he asked Tyler if, let me just start there, or stop there, rather, and also start at the same time. Do you agree, well, not if you agree, what do you make of the question itself? Would the fair thing for the Broncos to do to trade Philip Lindsay? Just what's your immediate reaction when you hear something like that?
Fair thing for who? For him?
Fair thing for Phil.
No, I don't think so. I still think this is the best spot for him if they use him correctly. I still think this is the best spot for him to go in and still have a really good football season. Just because you sign Melvin Gordon doesn't mean that Melvin Gordon's going to play 16 games. Doesn't mean Melvin Gordon's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher. He's only had one of those, by the way. So it's a long football season. We can't project what December's going to look like right now. A lot happens throughout the course of a football season. So to trade your best running back the last 2 years, I think right now it would be just foolish. That would make no sense for the Broncos, obviously. But I think for Phillip too, this is probably the best spot for him. I still think it is, and I got to think about other spots around the league, and you can maybe think of, I don't know who the Dolphins running back is right now, just certain spots like that that might be a little bit better for him, where he can try to go and be the guy. But what positions, what teams could he go and be that 1A guy right now?
Well, you bring up the Dolphins. You know who the leading rusher for Miami was this past year?
Kenyon Drake?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, are you? What?
I swear to goodness, Ryan Fitzpatrick led the Dolphins in rushing this past year.
Oh, wow.
With 243 yards. It's good.
They had Kenyon Drake for half the year.
He played six
wow.
games and totaled 174 yards. This has to be, and I don't have the research in front of me, but this has to be the lowest rushing total for an NFL team in the history of pro football.
In a while, for sure.
And it came from the running. It came from the quarterback. Now that's got to be the only time this has happened. The quarterback, at least in the last 25 years, the quarterback leads the team in rushing, which has happened, but with 243 yards. That's stunning.
Under 300 yards. Under 250. That's crazy.
And it's impressive. Fitzy averaged 4.5 yards per.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, Melvin's looking up at that saying, damn.
Where other spots would be good for him? I mean, I guess the Houston Texans might be a good spot for him. I'm trying to think. I think both their running backs might be free agents, and Carlos Hyde and the other running back that they had, I can't think of him off the top of my head. That might be a good spot for him.
Duke Johnson?
Yeah, Duke Johnson. I think they both might be free agents. I don't know who they have re-signed in Houston or not. So I guess there could be a couple decent spots for him. I just don't think for the Broncos it makes sense. Look, I mean, running backs, we see it all the time. They get injured.
Sure.
And you want to have some depth behind, if Melvin Gordon's your starter, you want to have some depth behind him. And I think the best thing for both of them is to go running back by committee. And when I say running back by committee, I say running back by game plan. Week-to-week type of situation where, you know, depending on who you're playing, depending on what kind of game plan you want to have in the for the game, you know, maybe you lean towards Phillip Lindsay for 1 week. Next week, maybe it's Melvin Gordon more carries and starting. And so you can go back and forth with both of these guys. They're both really good running backs. So I don't think that it has to be a situation where Melvin Gordon's getting 20, 22, 24 carries a game and Phillip Lindsay's getting, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 carries a game. I don't think that needs to be this type of situation. I still feel like Phillip Lindsay can thrive in this situation.
I totally agree with everything you just said. And what you didn't say, and I'll put this on top of it.
Put the cherry on top.
It's if you were to trade Phillip Lindsay, you would be doing that out of sentiment for Phillip Lindsay, and you would be taking away from the Denver Broncos.
Right.
And it just, this is NFL football. This ain't intramurals, brother.
This ain't intramurals, brother.
This is NFL football. You're not going to make a transaction because someone has hurt feelings. It's just not going to happen. This is not the way this league works. If Phillip Lindsay goes out and produces yet again, he's going to get paid, and whether it's with Denver or elsewhere. So, but for right now, he's under your control. You're not going to deal him and lessen your room to make him feel better about his situation.
No, I just prefer in this situation to give him a little bit more money, right? I mean, that's what I'd prefer to do rather than dealing the guy, make him feel a little bit better about himself. But you don't want to trade one of your better football players. That's not what this is all about. You're not trying to hurt your football team during this time of year. And then on top of that, I'll put a little bit of sprinkles on top of that cherry, Zach, that you just threw down. What are you going to get for him? What are you going to get, a fourth-round pick? You think you could get better than a fourth-round pick for Phillip Lindsay right now? I don't know if you can, and so it's definitely not worth it. Maybe a third, but man, I don't think you get a third for him. So you're looking at a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick. It just doesn't make any sense to trade one of your better football players for a fourth round pick. He's making hardly any money right now. So it makes no sense from a Broncos perspective to trade him. And I do think that Phillip Lindsay can be successful even with Melvin Gordon on this roster.
And while I was referencing D-Mac in the tweet that he put out there, and it was interesting, and I don't know who he was hearing that from, but it spilled into a conversation on the air between D-Mac and Tyler. And this is interesting, Stoke. I wanted to bounce this off you when I heard this. D-Mac asked Tyler if John Elway should have called Phillip Lindsay about trading for Melvin Gordon. And I got to tell you,
trade for him.
Signing, excuse me. A signing. I've been flip-flopping that throughout this whole period. About the signing of Melvin Gordon. And Tyler had some very strong words for John Elway. Listen to this conversation.
Phillip wasn't thrilled. Of course he's not. And the agent calls to clarify not to demand a trade. Elway talks to the agent. According to Kliss, they had a good football conversation. And then after that happened, Phillip's position coach talked to him. And I understand, too, since the Gordon trade has gone down, that Vic Fangio's talked to Phillip. Do you think John Elway owed Phillip Lindsay a call about this?
For sure I do.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
No kidding. Why?
Oh, absolutely. This is a big deal, man. You just took somebody off the board as number one guy. You know, if you get benched, I've been benched. And when that happens, you know what happens before anything? You get a call the night before from your positional coach saying, hey, can you come in at 6 o'clock so I can talk to you? Mm-hmm. And you know exactly what that means. But you go in and they let you know like a man that you've been replaced. If you don't call, if you don't communicate something like this, at least just tell them, hey, this is the business, man, and it's a tough deal. You're still going to have a role. You're still important to this team. We still need you, man. If you don't do that, you're flat out a coward.
Wow.
You change somebody's destiny. If you don't give them a call, you're a coward.
What?
Yeah, and a piece of that conversation that was not aired just now is that Tyler, and I want to do justice by Tyler here, Tyler added further context with Phil saying that, like, Phillip Lindsay is not your average player on this football team. He is a star for your team, and your stars deserve to be given a heads up, if you will.
Right. It's a tricky situation. It really is. Does John Elway, you know, like you said, I mean, does John Elway need to call everybody when he's making these moves and let people know what's going on and let these players know, hey, well, we're looking to sign this offensive lineman. Sorry, Garrett Bowles. Or we're looking to sign this inside linebacker. Sorry, Todd Davis. So, does he owe that to everybody on the roster? No, he doesn't. But every situation's different. Every situation's unique. And I do agree with Tyler. I think John probably should have picked up the phone and gave Phillip Lindsay a call. But these times are tricky. Things come together really quickly. Right? So we don't know, you know, how long this thing took to come together. The day before, it looked like Melvin Gordon was going to Buffalo. Next thing you know, the next day he signs with the Broncos. So how long did this thing take to come together? And I think at some point, though, you know, after you got the deal done, you probably should have picked up the phone and called Phillip Lindsay. He's been really good for the Broncos organization. He's been really good for John Elway, and he's helped John Elway
right,
out a lot.
Right.
So I think he probably owed Phillip Lindsay a call and just an explanation and what the plans are moving forward. And, you know, sometimes just picking up the phone and making that call and reaching out to somebody, you know, you can just make everything go away and just make everything so much better by just doing that and explaining yourself and explaining to that guy, hey, there's still a role for you here. We still appreciate what you've done, and we're still looking forward to you having a great year here. And just doing that simple thing like that can make a lot of stuff better quickly. So I just think every situation's unique. And, yeah, he probably should have picked up the phone and reached out to Phillip Lindsay at some point after the signing of Melvin Gordon. I think that would have been the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I have a tendency to feel the same way. I really do. And you can put yourself in Phillip Lindsay's shoes at your own occupation and, you know, feeling not even feeling like wanted per se, but like you're taken into account. You know what I mean? Like, what, like, no, we're not going to not make a deal because of your feelings, but we want to let you know that, like, your job's not totally going away here. We are making a move, but I respect you enough to pick up the phone. And what you, the point you made about John and what Philip Lindsay, like, Philip Lindsay bailed John out here by picking the Broncos. Royce Freeman is not some franchise running back. And I'm not saying Philip Lindsay is some sort of bell cow franchise running back either. But where would the Broncos running game be the last 2 years without Philip Lindsay?
Yeah.
Had he not chosen the Broncos after John Elway, to Philip's face, told him, we will draft you if you are there late. And not only did he not, he drafted another running back in the seventh round. So by not picking up the phone, it almost furthers this, I won't say divide, but sort of unspoken unappreciation for what Philip Lindsay has done. And if you don't think Philip Lindsay is pissed off to high heaven, just listen to Phil's quotes. I'll give them to you next. So Philip Lindsay sounding off a little bit. Get a lot of reaction from this on the RamosLaw.com text line, by the way. A lot of reaction. And appreciate you guys listening and being a part of the show wherever and however you are listening. We are streaming all day, all night. Got you. Everything's podcasted. But seeing a lot of both sides of this kind of debate or stance, but a lot of people, and I'd say 60-40 right now, is like not anti-Phil, but like let's not act like this is Terrell Davis, you know, type of thing in terms of consideration for his feelings here. So I did want to pass that along to you. I can't get to all these text messages that are rifling through. But Phil's pissed, Stoke. And yesterday after DMAC tweeted this, he had a conversation with Mike Kliss. Mike Kliss picks up the phone. He calls Philip. Not sure if you saw this story, Stoke, but a lot was said on this phone call in this interview with Mike Kliss. Let me just start here. This is on the starting job. Phil said, quote, when camp comes around, it's going to be a battle. I'm not just going to sit there and give somebody my job. They can, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to battle. I've heard this stuff my whole entire life, and it's never, ever panned out how everybody has wanted it to pan out. Until somebody proves me wrong, I'm going to continue to do what I do. Melvin's not my enemy. He's my teammate. He needs to do his job, but best believe I'm going to do my job, end quote.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is exactly what I was saying last week. You know, everybody's always doubted Philip. He's always found a way to be the guy and be successful at every stop. And that's why I said last week, after I said that I believe that Phil, by the end of the year, Philip Lindsay will be the better back. By hook or by crook, by injury, by not injury, whatever it may be, I think our eyes are going to tell us that Philip Lindsay's the better back, and he will be the better back by the end of the football season next year, this coming year. So, look, I like the approach. You know, I like when he said, and I think he understands, you know, he's like, I'm not going to just sit there and give somebody the job. They can, right? Like, he kind of realizes that that's probably going to be the situation he's in because of the money that they paid out to Melvin Gordon. And no matter what he does during the offseason, during preseason games, training camp, game one, the starter is going to be Melvin Gordon. That's just what's going to happen because of the finances that they paid to Melvin Gordon. You're not going to all of a sudden see a guy making $9 million not starting a football game. It's not going to happen. If he's healthy, he's going to be the starter for the first game, okay? And then after that, we'll see how it plays out. But I love the attitude. I love the mindset. You know, like you said, this is the stuff that he's heard his whole entire life, and these are the obstacles that he's had to overcome. And guess what? He's always overcome them, and I think he will again this year.
You know, he really has always. And this quote here that I've heard this stuff my whole entire life, and it's never, ever panned out how everybody has wanted it to pan out, end quote. Meaning, like, I've never been anyone's plan. No one has ever looked at me and said, that's, man, that guy's special. We're going to go with him. It's always been resorting to Philip Lindsay. And this situation is no different. He wasn't the Broncos' plan at all. He had to scratch and claw his way onto the team. But this is the first quote where you're seeing when he says, I'm not just going to sit there and give somebody my job. They can. I want to, and yes, I have a microscope over these quotes. I got it. But look for the tone. Philip Lindsay separating himself from the Broncos administration and maybe the coaches. When you start hearing the words like they, we go back to the Nolan Arenado conversation. We had the same conversation. When you start hearing the they and separating yourself from your own team, it just speaks to how pissed I think he really is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, there's no doubt. I don't think that's even debatable that he pissed off? Is he not pissed off? Who would not be pissed off? And you're talking about a competitor like Philip Lindsay, and all of a sudden, just like that, your starting job is gone. Not to anything of your fault. You didn't do anything. All you've done is gone back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, and now all of a sudden they're paying a guy $9 million, and they're overlooking you. How could you not be pissed off?
Right.
I mean, come on. If you have a pulse, you're pissed. If you're a competitor, you're pissed. So you're darn right Philip Lindsay's pissed, and I'm glad he's pissed, and I'm looking forward to him coming out and be ready to rock and roll and going out there and having a great year. And, you know, he's never been the plan. You're right. He wasn't a plan here. They drafted Royce Freeman. They drafted David Williams. He's always overcome those obstacles. And I'm sure in college, look, he wasn't the plan to start with. And probably they kept on trying to replace him in college also until probably the end there. And so this is just the process for Philip Lindsay.
Right.
And I'm sure when he was little, he had to overcome all these different type of situations also because of his size, and he's always been able to do it, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch how this thing plays out, and it's so hard to forecast what a season's going to look like. And when I coached high school the last few years, that's what I would tell the kids, because I'm not, hey, it doesn't matter if you're not the starter, okay, because a football season is a long season, and things play out so differently every single year. Just because you're not the starter right now doesn't mean you're not going to be the starter in 3 or 4 weeks, right? So just keep grinding. You don't know what's going to happen, and I think that's what it seems like his mindset's going to be. And I'm looking forward to watching Philip Lindsay in 2020.
Yeah, you speak for both of us there, and a large portion, if not all, of Broncos country wondering, you know, what is the arc of this thing over 16 games going to look like? Because, you know, someone's saying on the RamosLaw.com text line, so you're saying the NFL isn't a meritocracy, Stoke? A meritocracy, like meaning like the best man for the job is always going to arise. It's always going to rise to the top. And
yeah, there you go. Thank you for that definition.
I'll say this on your behalf. You have gone out of your way to say that's the way this is going to start.
With thank you Melvin. For my lunch, Carson. Shout out to Carson Stokely, baby.
Carsey, my
all right,
man.
Baby. Thank you for the lunch. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's not a bad gig down here. Sorry, go ahead.
No. To that texter saying that, like, Melvin Gordon is going to start, like, you have been clear to say that's the way that this is initially going to happen.
Right.
In fact, you've gone so far to say you believe at the end of this thing, Philip Lindsay will be the starter.
Right, and the NFL is not one of those tocracies. The mayor, whatever tocracy, it's not. That's not the way it works. The best player doesn't always play. Unfortunately, it's the guy that was a first round pick. He's going to play over that guy that's a fifth round pick for the most part until it, you know, that guy's going to continue to get more opportunities. That guy that's making $9 million is going to get more opportunities to play in front of the guy that's making $700,000. That's the way it goes. People don't like being wrong. So, you know, John Elway paid Melvin Gordon a lot of money. Does he want Melvin Gordon not to be starting? So, absolutely not. He wants them to go out there and have a great year so he can say, look, I spent $9 million on that guy this year. Look at the season he had. So they're going to do everything in their power to make sure Melvin Gordon is successful and make sure Melvin Gordon's a starter. And that's the way the NFL works. That's the way most professional sports work is the money you make plays a big role in how much you play. That where you're drafted plays a big role in how much you play and how many opportunities you get. And it's not fair, but it's the way it is.
This is Philip Lindsay on his reaction to the Melvin Gordon signing. He said, quote, my initial reaction is at the end of the day, I've got to produce so that I can put food on the table for my family. I can't worry about anything else that's going on. Honestly, he's going to do his part and I'm going to do my part. At the end of the day, I don't need 20 carries to make 100 yards. I don't think I've ever had 20 carries, end quote.
I like it. I like the approach. The only problem here, you know, and you, I did a good job of doing the research on Pat Shurmur. Remember when I did all that research?
Oh yeah, Pat Shurmur, running back. You're in your study like for a full 24 hours.
Yeah, it was a long time. A lot of numbers crunching and digging, and I came up with a lot of good stuff about how he uses one back predominantly, right? So. Is that what the situation is going to be like here? Or are they going to split carries more, kind of like are we going to see more of a Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman? And is Philip going to get to those 10 carries a game? What will it look like for him? So I think that's going to play a big role here, especially early on in the football season.
All right. This is more from Philip Lindsay. This is on the new contract, on a potentially new contract. This is very interesting. It's a little bit lengthy of a quote, so stick with me here. He says, quote, I feel like I've outplayed my contract. And so, by the way, if you want to jump in at any time, just go ahead, okay?
Okay.
This is Philip Lindsay on potentially getting a new contract. Quote, I feel like I've outplayed my contract, and I deserve to take care of my family too. But I'm under contract still. For me, my mindset is to play out my contract. The fact is, nothing has to be done. You can't make anybody do something they don't want to do. And so for me, I put pen to paper. I'll be here. I didn't know how the contract worked, but I put pen to paper for a certain number of years, and I'm going to play my contract and go from there.
Just to start, I know you got some more there. I like that approach. Right, just show up, just work. I think if you try to force John Elway's hand in this situation, it won't go good for Philip Lindsay. So just show up, just work, just show him that you're going to be the same guy, and hopefully he realizes that, you know what, this guy's salary, this guy's contract should be adjusted a little bit, and we should give him a bump in pay here because he's been really good to us, and whatever that number may be, it should be more than what he's making here. And I think if he takes that approach, that will be the best approach, and that will be the only way that he can get a bump in pay. You don't try to go at John Elway and try to have a power play with John Elway if you're Philip Lindsay, because it won't work out well for him. So I think this is the right approach from Philip Lindsay, and hopefully, like you said, he can't make anybody do anything that they don't want to do. And certainly John won't do anything that he doesn't want to do. And the only way that Philip Lindsay will ever get a bump in pay this next year is just by showing up and working. And then hopefully John realizes it and John says, okay, you know, you've been a great Bronco. You've been really good for me. Here's, you know, the Chris Harris bump.
Phil goes on to say, quote, I love the game of football and I love being out here. I never look at money. Money is going to come when it comes. But I was a top 5 running back the year before and top 15 this year. So I feel like I am outplaying my contract, but at the end of the day, I'll continue to play with the contract they gave me, end quote.
I like it. I mean, look, the same stuff, just saying the right things, and everything that he said is spot on. I mean, he has outplayed his contract. They do have him under contract for another year, and they do have all the control. So, he says he's just going to continue to play with the contract that they gave him. And that's really, he doesn't have any real leverage in this situation. He can't just hold out. What are you going to do if you hold out? You're going to look like Melvin Gordon last year.
It's not going to work.
And you're going to look worse than that. You got no leverage in this situation. You got to realize you got no leverage and just show up and realize it's a bad situation for a football player like Phillip Lindsay, but it is what it is. And the only way that you can make it better is by showing up, having a good attitude, being ready to rock and roll, and just doing what you've done the last 2 years.
And the one quote that stuck out to me within that last segment is, you can't make anybody do something they don't want to do. And he's talking about John Elway here when he says they. He's talking about John. You can't make anybody do anything or something that they don't want to do. Here's the question that I ask. After going through these quotes on the new contract, after going through the quotes talking about the starting job, after going through his reaction to the Melvin Gordon signing, is Phillip Lindsay on the doorstep of, and I'm not even saying that this is a bad thing because I know a lot of players operate like this, is Phillip Lindsay on the doorstep of being a mercenary? When he's talking about they, as in separating himself from the Broncos, and you got one more year to perform before you get paid, and my priority is to take care of myself here because the Broncos aren't doing it. They've never really done it. I got to look out for number one and sort of I'm not saying like going out of his way to like separate himself from the team, but the number one objective in Phillip Lindsay's life is to get a new contract.
Sure, and that's not a bad thing. If you show up to work, you have a good attitude, you're a good teammate, and you work hard, and you're just looking out for yourself, that's not always a bad thing. I mean, two things can be true at the same time. You can do that and still go out there and produce at a high level. You don't have to be best friends with John Elway. You don't have to like the front office. So just as long as you're showing up with a good attitude and the right mindset and that you go out there and you're who you've been the last couple of years, I don't think it's a bad thing if you want to get paid and you're trying to be a little bit selfish. Sometimes those are win-wins for the organization because they get the best out of the player and the player gets the best for themselves. So just as long as you're not doing anything bad in the locker room and being a bad teammate, which I don't think Phillip's going to not going to do that. I mean, he's told us he's going to show up and be a good teammate and work hard. So I'm not concerned about that. I don't think that's how this thing's going to play out. I think he understands the situation. And, you know, look, like I said, you don't have to be buddies with Elway. And you don't have to get along with him. You don't have to agree with him. But what I do like from these quotes and these comments are, you know what, he's just going to show up. He's going to work. He signed his contract, and he's going to be a good teammate. And so to me, when I read all these things, it's going to be like the same Phillip Lindsay we've seen the last couple years.
Yep.
Not. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get, but the way he's approaching this thing, and I think he's going to be even more motivated this offseason.
Agreed.
And I think this thing might be a great thing for him when he looks back in a year or 2 years and say, you know what, that just made me realize how the NFL works. That made me realize how precious my time in the NFL is and that they will always try to replace me. And sometimes, you know, we heard from Bradley Chubb this offseason, and Bradley Chubb was talking about how he kind of was taking things for granted.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact quote. Remember that, Zach?
Yeah, I do.
And after that ACL injury, he just realized, just put everything in a different perspective for him. And I think that this could be a situation for Phillip Lindsay where it just puts in a different perspective. Not that he was taking anything for granted, but all of a sudden you have a couple 1,000-yard seasons, you're feeling good about yourself, you're the guy, and then next thing you know, you're not the guy, and it just makes you realize that the life in the NFL is tough, and you got to continue to grind. No matter what you did previously, they're going to always try to replace you. They did it probably in high school, they did it in Pop Warner, they did it in college, and they're going to do it in the NFL to you. And so you got to continue to go out there and prove people wrong. And so I think it could be a situation, hopefully it is, where Phillip looks back and said, that Melvin Gordon signing 2 years ago, that was the best thing for me. That was the best thing that happened to my career.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I remember that Bradley Chubb quote well, for sure. Okay, just a couple more things here. D-Mac floated on his Twitter. He didn't say that he was hearing this, but the question, is it fair to ask for a trade? And Kles asked him, did he or would he ask for a trade? Phillip said, quote, nah, if you're hearing that stuff, I don't know where you're getting that from. Nothing like that going on. And I wonder if nothing like that is going on, because we found out that Mike McCartney picked up the phone and called John Elway right after the Melvin Gordon signing And the two did have a conversation, Elway and Mike McCartney. And apparently, from Kliss, he said, quote, it was a good football discussion. Elway was complimentary of Lindsey and pointed out how all teams needed two backs. And Philip Lindsey said, quote, what my agent does, he represents me and he wants the best for me. He has to get to the bottom of certain things to know where I stand with things and go from there. Like I said, this is out of my hands, out of my control. All I do is work my butt off and get ready for the season and make plays, be a playmaker like I always have been, end quote. So sounds like the agent hopped on the horn there and was like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's what he should do. That's what a good agent does. You want to find out what the plan is for the player now. All of a sudden, things change dramatically, and in the span of just a day, you go from being the guy now to being the backup, and you kind of want to know where your client stands. What's the plan for him moving forward? Is there a plan for him? Do you want to move him? Because a few days before, you're looking at the situation we were talking about it, Zach. Maybe getting an extension done with Philip Lindsey, maybe giving him some more money, all these things. Next thing you know, you give Melvin Gordon $9 million for 1 year, 13.5 guaranteed over a 2 year deal. As an agent, you're like, hey, what's going on over there? What has happened? What's your views of my client, Philip Lindsey? What's the plan for him this year? You want to find that stuff out. That's what a good agent should do. And so I don't know, exactly what was said there, but obviously.
It sounds like some, to whatever degree, we don't know, but some assurances were made like, no, Philip Lindsey's still going to touch the football. Like, yeah. This is not going to be a one-back show.
Else would you expect to hear?
Right.
Really?
Right.
Nah, we don't plan on him touching the football a lot. And, they're going to say all the right things. Vic Fangio is going to say all the right things. John Elway is going to say all the right things throughout the offseason. Training camp, they're going to say all the right things. And they're going to try to walk that fine line, because this is a fine line that they got to walk in a tricky situation here. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, though. But right now, you're going to say all those things. But in the game, what is it going to look like? Is that the way it's going to work out in the game?
We just don't know yet. We just don't know. And by the way, John Elway can say this to Phil's agent, Mike McCartney, but during the games, John Elway's going to be up in that box.
Yep.
It's going to be Pat Shurmur, if not Vic Fangio, doling out the ratio of carries. And we just have no idea what that's going to look like. We can try to guess from Pat Shurmur's history, but these two specific human beings in this specific offense have never operated together before. So we just don't know. Just don't know.
No, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Like you said, I mean, John Elway's up in the booth, and he's not game planning with those guys. He's not sitting in there, and he's not going to be telling them how much Philip Lindsey needs to play. I mean, that's going to be up to Pat Shurmur. I'm sure ultimately Vic Fangio is just going to let him have the reins there with what's going on offensively. And Vic, obviously, if he feels like he needs to step in there, he will. But I think for the most part, it's going to be a Pat Shurmur call, and whoever the running back coach is will have some input there. But I think it's going to come down to who Pat Shurmur is and how he wants this offense to look like.
We have a great show planned for you guys at 1:45. Nuggets team president Tim Connolly is going to join the show live. And then at 2:30 this afternoon, Stokely is going to give his top five wide receivers coming out of the NFL draft. A unique perspective from a guy who did that at that position for a decade and a half. So you're not going to want to miss that at all.
I'm not sure you're going to like it, Zach. Just a heads up.
I'm actually preparing myself.
Okay.
I'm preparing myself. But speaking of that position, I got to tell you, I cannot stand an assumption that is being made right now involving the Broncos and the 15th overall pick. I'll tell you what it is next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.